thank you again for coming out. What a lovely evening to curl up in bed or out of the fire, but you've come to the meeting. We thank you for that, and we pray that God will bless you as a result of being here this evening, each one. The Gospel, as John records it, please. The next book following where Clive has been reading, chapter 9. And let me assure you that Clive and I never coordinate anything that we are going to speak about, but it happens that we're in chapter 9 and we're going to look at the blind man. So maybe God has a message for someone here this evening. And it says, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? What a ridiculous question. Think of it. How did the man sin that he was born blind? I mean, that question just is beyond understanding. But verse 3 tells us, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now that doesn't mean that the man hadn't sinned, and it doesn't mean his parents hadn't sinned. It simply means that there was no specific sin that had brought about this blindness in the man's life. Verse 4, the Savior continues, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, the parenthesis says, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day. Ah, see the problem? It was the Sabbath day, it says, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed them to see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, the religious people. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue or excommunicated from the Jewish religion. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they unto him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I've told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses, As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvellous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Now, I think that we will leave it there. We'll just go down toward the end of the chapter. And it says, verse 36, 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, or excommunicated him. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast first seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now, that's rather a lengthy reading, I know. But it's interesting, and I thought as Clive was speaking to us about the man in Luke's record of the Gospel, whether the same man or not is not very important. But I thought, obviously, not the same man, but whether or not is not the important issue. But the thing that struck me as I was thinking about this today is the number of blind people in the Bible that the Lord Jesus healed, opened their eyes, and gave them sight. Now, I want to make this clear. Before we give any application in a spiritual way, these things actually happened. They were literal miracles of healing, whether blind people having their eyes opened, or their ears opened, or they're being made to speak, and so on. So we don't want to think that this is just a fairy story, and now we're going to give it some sort of a religious application. No. But the things that happen to these people, they do have their spiritual application to us. Thinking about that, my mind turned to what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it says in verse 3, But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And then it tells us in verse 4, In whom, these people that are lost, the God of this age, that is the devil, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. You see, here was a man literally, physically blind. But he is an application to us that we by nature have our spiritual sight blinded, our minds blinded by Satan, the god of this age, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should shine in unto them and they should believe. But when I read that verse in the Bible, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should shine into them, it reminds me that the devil is afraid. There are some things that the devil is afraid of. We normally think of the devil as being after God, so tremendously powerful in the ears. Some people mock about the devil, and they laugh about the devil, and they think that they can trick the devil, and they think that they can play with the devil, and you're playing with fire and you get burnt. And you're playing with the devil, and you're playing with devilish things, and you'll get burnt. But the devil is not almighty. He is not all-powerful. And there are certain things that make him afraid. And one thing that makes him afraid is this. Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should shine into your heart and you should believe and be saved. And the devil is afraid. He doesn't want it to happen. And he's terrified that it might happen. I read about the sower going out to sow, and it gives us the application. It says the birds come and they pick up some of the seed on the path, and they fly away with it. And it's like the wicked one that comes and snatches away the seed of the word of God. That seed is sown in our hearts by the gospel. It's sown from the word of God, and the devil comes and does that and snatches away the seed, lest they should believe and be saved. Oh yes, he's afraid. The very fact that even some people, a few people, are here in this gospel hall in Mailer Street down even tonight is a cause of fear to the devil, lest you should believe and be saved. And that's the last thing that he wants to happen. He doesn't want anyone out of his sight. He doesn't want anyone to leave his faucet. And he's afraid that you might. But you're here tonight by the grace of God. God has brought you here. It's not just that you've come. It's not that you've decided, okay, I'll come along. It's not that you said, well, I did say I will come. I better go tonight. No, God wants you here. God has brought you here. Not because of me, no. Not because of the gospel hall. Not that this place will ever save you. No. They want you to hear. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Not all the pithy, intelligent, smart, pithy sayings that I can come up with. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. It's the word of God that God uses to bring about conviction. And he wants your eyes open. He wants you to see. He wants you to understand. Now I go back to the book of Proverbs and I read this. Where there is no vision, well, that's blindness, isn't it? When you can't see, there's no vision. When you've got no vision, then the people perish. If I get into a car outside and my eyes are covered and I have no vision, it's not likely that I will go very far before I crash. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You see, people have no vision this afternoon. Oh yes, there are some people, and they've got visions. They've got, some politicians have got visions. We'll make New Zealand one of the powers of the Pacific. We'll make New Zealand a competitor in world markets. And they've got vision for the country. There's people that have got visions for their company. Visions for their family. Visions for their family. I'll get my boy through school in one of the private colleges. And I'll get him through university. And I'll get him into the best job. And I'll get him to do this. And I'll do that. And they've got a vision. But they haven't got spiritual vision. Because if they did, they would turn away from their sin. Never seen themselves just for what they are. Comparing themselves with themselves. He's a blind man. Well, he didn't have much vision. So he compared himself with others. Well, he could only work on hearsay. Doesn't do us any good. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Oh, if people could only understand this afternoon. If you could understand that if you or if anyone dies without Christ and goes out of time into eternity without salvation. Clive has been reminding us of the man that he looked at last night in chapter 16 and 11. And in hell. Let me say, that doesn't roll off my tongue easily. I don't like the word. I wish I didn't have to use it. I wish I didn't have to speak about the place. But hell is a reality. And the devil says today there is no hell. Don't believe there's a hell. You're too educated for that. You're too modern for that. You're too brought up for that. You don't believe in a literal hell. It just couldn't be that a God of love could ever assign his own creature to an eternal punishment. No. Why then did he send his son Jesus Christ to Calvary's cross? Why did God allow his son to suffer the agony and the shame and the death of Calvary if in the end it'll all pan out all right and we'll all be in heaven and we'll never be in judgment and God just couldn't do that to us? And after all, I'm so important. This world would stop spinning if God did that to me. This world would just move into oblivion if God did something like that to me. That's man's idea because he's got no vision. Who am I? What are you? But God loves you. And Jesus Christ died to save you. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Not only a lack of vision of what it's like to die without Christ, but oh, if you could only see the Savior this evening. If you could just by faith get a glimpse of the lovely, gentle, gracious Son of God coming down from heaven with his glory, descending into this world and being born as a baby. Oh, we know the story of Christmas. Oh, yes, we do, don't we? Oh, we see the lights. Clive was reminding us last night. We see the candles. We love the presents. We love all the parties. Or could we only just see the blessed Christ being born in Bethlehem? Born and cradled in a manger. Living a life of sorrow and being despised and rejected. And at last being condemned to die and nailed, not just to die, but to die a criminal's death. What's more, to die under the judgment of the God of heaven. Oh, if you could see the Christ dying on Calvary, just by faith. Yes, you don't look at a cross. You don't need a statue. You don't need a crucifix. You don't need a picture. But by faith, just remembering that on Calvary, on that cruel cross, on that rugged cross, on that cross of shame and sorrow, the Savior was nailed as a criminal. And he suffered. And he bled. And he died. So that I, the sinner, might live. So that I, the sinner, might have everlasting life. So that I might know what it is to live for Christ now and live with Christ in eternity. The Son of God, he loved me and he gave himself for me. Blind. Are you blind tonight? Are you really blind? Can you really see? Have you really had a glimpse of Jesus Christ? Dying for me. Dying in your room. Dying in your place. Bearing your sins in his own body on the tree. But another thing I notice is that none of these blind men were healed in the same way. In Matthew chapter 9, there were two blind men. And the Savior touched their eyes, and they were healed. In Matthew chapter 12, there was one blind man, and it just says that the Savior healed him. And then in Matthew chapter 20, there were two, and the Savior, it says, he touched their eyes. And then we come to Mark chapter 8, and it says, he spit in his eyes, and put his hands on them. And then chapter 10 of Mark, he said to Bartimaeus, go thy way. And this man here as well in Luke that we've read about, blind, and the Lord Jesus said to him, receive thy sight. Now we've got this one in John, and the Savior spat on the ground. And it doesn't sound very epic, it doesn't. And it doesn't sound sort of very, very, well, in our ideas, it doesn't sound very pleasant. Spat on the ground, and he made clay out of the clay. And then he got the clay and he rubbed it on his eyes. What's the Bible trying to teach us? I think it's trying to teach us this. No two experiences are exactly the same. The Lord Jesus said, I am the only way, the unique way, the singular way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I'm not suggesting that there is any other way to Christ. God doesn't say, well, you can get to heaven by religion. And you can get there by being good. And you can get there by doing this. And you can get there by not doing that. No, there's only one way to heaven. And the Savior said, it's only by me. But what's he teaching us? The experience that might bring you to Christ could be very, very different. Clive lived a very different life to what I lived. Every one of us here have lived different lives. Some for many years in sin. Some of us only just for a few years in sin. Our experiences were different. And I'm not really caring how it comes about. And how God speaks to you. And what the experience is that wakes you up. But what interests me is that you get to Christ. That you trust Christ. That you know him as your Savior. That's what interests me. Immediately. This doesn't fit the bill. not the way it's done in our church, said the Jews. And what's more, it's the religious day, it's the Sabbath day, and he ought not to have done this. See? Oh, it upsets even some religious people. Let me tell you that. You trust Christ, and not every religious person will be happy. You come even to a gospel meeting like this, and not every religious friend will be happy. Who are those fellas? Where's their diplomas? What do they know about them? Well, I want to tell you, I'm a little bit like this blind man. I'm not a theologian, and I haven't been to a theological college. And I just love the testimony of this man. He was real early in the picture. And they got him and they said to him, look, this man is a sinner, isn't he? The poor blind man, he just had his eyes open. He doesn't really quite say it like this, you know, but I think he was sort of saying something like this. I haven't been to theological college. And I don't know much about the Bible. In fact, I've never read the Bible because I've been blind all my life. And I'm not up on these things. Can't really tell you whether he's a sinner or not. But I can tell you one thing. There was a time when I was blind, but now I can see. Huh? Got that? I'm not a hard-boiled theologian. But I can tell you, just a little while ago I couldn't see, I was blind, and now I can see. And you can't disprove that. And the fact is here, I'm here tonight. And I'm saved. And I'm on the way to heaven. And my sins have been forgiven. And I praise God for that. Why? Because Jesus Christ saved me. He touched me. Not literally. He touched my life. He gave me spiritual life. He gave me everlasting life. The experience in my life was very, very different. Clive's was different. But the only thing that really worries me, that interests me, concerns me rather, is that Clive came to trust Christ as well. And your experience, where you've been, what you've done, what you haven't done. Or some people, they say, yeah, but if you only knew my past life. Friend, I'm not interested in the past life. I'm not interested in that. We were looking last night in the earlier chapter 8 about the woman caught in adultery. Mad. Not a single word could she say in her self-defense. When we lived in Colombia, a man once said to me, is it right that, and he named a woman, goes to your meetings? Yes, I said. So do you know she's a local prostitute? And I knew stories about her past life. I looked at him, and I was angry. I believe righteous anger. I said to him, I want to ask you a question. She is a local prostitute or she was a local prostitute? Well, he said, everyone knows she's a prostitute. I said, she is or she was? Well, he heads up. I said, tell me, she is or she was? Well, he said, she was. I said, I'll tell you something. By the grace of God, that woman has been saved. And she's on her way to heaven. She's been touched. And I know what she was. But I know what she is. She's a child of God. She's been forgiven. And she's had her sins all forgiven and she's been made, brought into the family of God. That's what he can do. When the Lord Jesus opens eyes. Oh yes, some people are hard to break down. Some people are easy. I know another woman. And when we put the tent up once right where she had a little kiosk and she'd been 15 days blotto. Absolutely blotto for 15 days just prior to this. And she only came in because my wife insisted on asking her in each night until at last in the second week she said, the only way I can get this foreign woman off my back is come into the meeting. She came in once. She came in twice. May have been a third time, I'm not sure. And she went home and she got down on her knees beside her bed. And she trusted Christ as a Savior. And she's lived for God for 27 years to prove that it wasn't just a family picnic. It wasn't just a day's outing. It was a life for Christ. What he's done for her, what he's done for me. All the experiences were different. But it's Christ that opens the eyes. And Christ wants to open your eyes. Maybe, I don't know. But I don't think I fancy the spit. I don't think I like the idea of the spit being rubbed on my eye. Maybe that would be a bit repulsive. The Jews perhaps had some ideas about this having some medicinal value, but I don't think I fancy that. That God's way of salvation isn't one that pumps us up. God's way of salvation isn't say, look, stand out the front. You're the mayor of Dunedin, or you're the accountant that has done this, you're the barrister that is known throughout the South Island of New Zealand. No. God's way of salvation is, I have to humble myself. And the dirt was rubbed on his eyes. Maybe just to remind him, that's where you belong. You're dirty. You're filthy. I don't know. I'm only just surmising a couple of things. Or we wouldn't like that. Just imagine dirt rubbed on your eyes. There was no value in the spit. There was no value in the clay. If in anything, the clay was going to make him more blind than he ever was before, then the Savior says to him, look, I want you to go to the pool of Siloam. And it said, it means sent. He was probably called sent because the waters were sent from another place down to this pool. But I want to tell you that there was a man sent down from heaven. A man came from heaven, the blessed Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. God didn't send his Son. The verse that follows this. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. He sent his Son. He didn't send him to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Again, it tells me, the Father sent the Son, the Savior of the world. And it's the sent one that can hear you tonight. It's the sent one who can open your eyes. And this man, he had his eyes open. He knew nothing about the Lord Jesus. Then, of course, the Lord Jesus said, do you believe on the Son of God? He said, dost thou believe in the Son of God? And the poor man, so religiously ignorant, don't even know who he is, Lord. Don't know anything about it. The Lord Jesus said, well, I am the Son of God. And the man, he believed and he worshipped. Do you want to know something? I'm told that years ago, I think it was in China, there was a missionary. And as he was preaching the gospel, a woman heard the gospel and she believed that this man that came from God had saved her soul. Some days later, she went back to the missionary and she said to him, I know he saved me, but can you tell me what his name is again? That's how much he knew about Jesus Christ. I know he saved me, but can you tell me his name again? You don't have to know all the Bible. You don't have to know great passages and all the things of the Word of God. What you have to know is this. I am a sinner. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for my sins. And if I trust him, if I rest in him for salvation, he will save me. And you trust him. And you'll open your eyes. And you'll give your spiritual sight and spiritual life. Let's pray. Father, pardon us for thy blessings. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thee for those who not only had their physical eyes open, but whose spiritual eyes were open to see that Jesus Christ was and is indeed the Son of God, and they could worship him. We ask for thy blessing then in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen. Sing another verse of the hymn that we sang. Just one verse 3. 417. Hymn number 417. He dwells in darkness with sin-blinded eyes. The light of the world is Jesus. Get washed at his bidding. That's what it's about. And light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. Just before we sing the hymn, though, please remember that tomorrow night, and then again Friday night, at the same time, the gospel meeting here, 7 o'clock, we'd love you to come. And then Lord's Day, Sunday, at 5 o'clock, the last of this series, and we urge you to come. But above all, let the Lord Jesus open your eyes and be saved. Just standing, just verse 3, and the meeting is finished. Thank you for your presence.